So, Father, in this moment, as we posture our hearts in adoration through our voice in song, we say thank you for all that you've done, all that you are, and all that you've given to us in Jesus' name. We pray this for his sake. Amen. So what we want to do tonight, have a seat. What we want to do tonight is something a little different. At Love Reality, we have this commitment to Wednesday night prayer meetings. We love Wednesday night prayer meetings. I grew up going to Wednesday night prayer meeting, and I just found it. At first, I hated it when I was a kid, and then later, I loved it when I was older. And so now I want to just kind of pay a homage to Wednesday night prayer meeting tonight, if that's all right. And what we're going to do for the next couple of minutes is we can turn those pads off. We're going to just have a little prayer and testimony time. I got these two mics right here. We're going to give one to Pastor Greg. He didn't even know he was going to help me out with this, but he's going to. Then I'm going to give another one to Pastor Ashok. And I'm going to invite you to petition one another for prayers up to the Lord. You can testify for what the Lord has been doing in your life, whatever it is, just for the next few minutes. And we want to pray for one another, and we want to testify amongst one another so that we might be encouraged. Y'all know the Bible says that. Don't stop meeting together so that you might encourage one another unto good works through song, prayer, thanksgiving. Right? Is that all right? Hebrews 10. So I'll open the floor up right now. It's going to be a little informal, but we're family. So if anybody has a prayer, a testimony, petition, you can raise a hand, stand up. We'll get a mic to you, and I will uncomfortably wait you out. I promise you, I love leaning into awkward. Hey, hey. Good job, Randy. We get this one on here. That's all right, I think, for the live stream.
The prayer mic, please.
I feel bad going first, kind of, because it's a heavy prayer request. A dear family friend of mine just lost their 18-year-old son in a car accident. Mm. And so they just need prayer to lift them up. And so, yeah, I'm sorry, it's a heavy first one, but it's just on my heart. And their names are Carrie and Scott, and the brother, his name is Jackson, and they just really need to be surrounded right now.
Carrie, Scott,
and Jackson.
And Jackson. Yeah. I'm going to ask our elder statesman if he would be so kind as to pray for that request for Carrie, Scott, and Jackson. Carrie, Scott, and Jackson. Let's bow our heads together.
Lord, tonight we've come and we've praised you, and our hearts are glad, and we are rejoicing in the gospel and in the good news of who you declare us to be in Christ Jesus. As we've come together tonight, Chandra shared this deep pain that this family bears of having lost their 18-year-old son, and for Carrie and for Scott and for Jackson, God, we just lift them up in this brokenness and in this sorrow and in this grief. May they know that they are not alone. May they know that your promise is that you will never leave us or forsake us. May they know that you have conquered Christ. You have conquered sin. You've conquered death. You've conquered the devil. But there's a day coming that you're going to make everything brand new.
Amen.
Right now, come near them. Come near them with the presence of your Spirit. Amen. Come around them with the family of God.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, please bless everyone who loves this son and everyone who loves this family. And thank you for bringing Chandra back home from that from that very difficult journey that she was there to share your love. So we long for the day you make everything new. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Chandra. Thank you, Pastor. Right there, Ashok.
So I just want to pray a prayer of thanksgiving for my family here. I can't actually even begin to articulate what God is doing in my life through Pleasant Valley. But I just want to especially thank God for Pastor Greg and Monica and Krista and Zach and Brian and Penny and Ray and Hannah and Colette and a thousand other Danny, a thousand other people who have become a catalyst for my life to change and for me to come into family and come into community and face a lot of uncomfortable things that are happening because of that. So anyway, that's my prayer of Thanksgiving.
Amen.
And I want to lift up my brother, Zach, because I think it was today he finished the bar exam.
Hey, congratulations.
And so I want to, one, lift that up to God, that God's will be done there.
Yeah.
And two, thank God for the conquering of the bar exam.
Yeah, yeah. Congratulations, Zach. I'm going to ask Pastor Shok to pray for that, a prayer of thankfulness for Sarah and a prayer of thankfulness for Zach. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Let's pray.
Dear God, thank you so much for creating church, for creating family, that the testimony that Sarah shared is so special because she has found safety here, she's found friendship, validation, affirmation. All of these things have come from you and working through all the members of your body. And so we thank you so much for the ways that every person has stepped up to be a safe place for Sarah by providing home, food, mental support, emotional support, listening ear, whatever it is, they've been able to give it to her. So thank you so much, dear God. And dear God, I thank you so much for leading my brother, Zach. He's been working so hard over these last couple of years to get to this point, and he has been studying super hard, and life has been very challenging for him, but I know that you have been by his side, and you've allowed him to take this beast called the bar, and like David, I believe that you have allowed him to slay this giant. And so, dear God, as he rests tonight, give him the peace that is absolutely in your hands. The score will be taken care of by you, and that he has complete assurance in you because your plans are perfect for him. So please give him that confidence right now and allow him to be at rest with his family right now. We pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Over there in the corner, Pastor Greg.
Hi, I'm Carly. I have a couple of prayer requests.
Yep.
There's a young man that was baptized this summer at Big Lake, and his name is AK, and he's in jail right now, and he has no placement. So just for AK, that God would show his will in his life and open up some doors for him. And then at work, I have a lady friend, and I can't witness at work, but I had a quiet moment with her, and she helps us as caseworkers, and she's shared with me that her son is in addiction, and he's been 20 years in addiction. And I said to her, have you prayed? And then she emailed me back later, and she said, that meant a lot to me. And I emailed her back, and I said, I'd be willing to fast and pray with you. Would you like that? So she didn't email me back a request, but if we prayed as a church family for Kristen's son, that God would open some doors in his life to be able to figure out how to deal with his heroin addiction.
AK for placement.
And for a family. And so that we can figure out how to help him.
Okay.
He's baptized, so he's one of ours.
Yeah.
He gave his heart to God.
Amen.
So it's pretty important that
we
pray for him.
And Kristen's son.
And Kristen's son.
Yeah, let's bow our heads and pray for that right now, huh? Father God, we thank you so much for the privilege to come together as a community in prayer. And right now we lift up one of your sons. Two of your sons. We think of AK, and right now he's incarcerated. But since he has given his life to you, we know that in you he is free. So, Father, as he progresses and he begins to transition in his life, we pray that you might lead, that you provide placement, and that you provide a stable plan and direction as he begins to transition. We also think of Kristen's son. We think of her and him and the impact that something like addiction can have on a family. But we also know that you are the good counselor and good comforter who knows how to deal in those situations. We pray for him. We name him in front of your throne, and we know that you will continue to pursue his heart and work according to his good. So we lift him up, and we come into agreement right now with Kristen to elevate her son, and we thank you for your spirit that seeks to save the lost. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. 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 Anybody else?
We got two over here.
Yeah.
It's my dad. Like, he has eye problems, so I just want to pray for that.
You want to pray for that, for your dad's eye problem?
Yeah.
Is it? Can we have his name? Is that all right?
Sure. His name's Kevin.
Kevin. I got my man Christian right here who's going to pray for Kevin's healing.
Father, thank you for just Brother Kevin's daughter who is brave enough to claim the promises of your goodness, Father. God, we stand here confident in your, Father, your goodness. And so we pray healing over Brother Kevin's life, God, that his eyes may function the way they were created to function, Father. God, and we don't pray this in a way of begging, in a way of asking as if we can't have it, Father, but we claim this as your sons, Father, in authority, Father, we're doing this with you, God, and so we thank you so much for your goodness, God. God, we pray healing over Brother Kevin's eyes, Father. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen, amen. And there was another?
I really like the way that it was said, a prayer of thanksgiving. This is a prayer of thanksgiving. I've been praying to God to give me a purpose, something to feel right in my life for once, something to be okay. And a teacher at school gave me the greatest opportunity to be a part of the rock climbing club. And to some people that might mean very little, but to me that was just everything. And I've been able to start rock climbing, and it's been that one thing in my life that I can just, it's a grounding moment where I can do something and it feels right. And I just
awesome.
Want to be thankful.
Awesome.
For that.
What's your name?
Andrew.
Andrew, it's nice seeing you again. I remember we spent some time together in the summer.
Yeah.
So it's great to hear that. And I know somebody who loves rock climbing who would love to pray a prayer of thanksgiving with and for you. And we're going to let our mountain man do that right now.
Lord, I thank you for Andrew. I thank you for the privilege of being able to climb together with him. And it's always a privilege to be able to tie into the same rope with somebody. I pray that you would continue to guide and direct in his life. Lord, I believe you're leading him. This purpose that he mentioned, it's a heart cry, and I know that you hear it. And I pray that you'll keep him on belay.
Oh.
That you will tie his life closely to your own. And I thank you that you have saved him. I thank you that you've done everything that needs to be done. And that he can stand in confidence as your child.
Oh.
And I thank you, Lord, that you've already given him a purpose.
Mm.
And I pray that you would continue to reveal to him what that is. I pray that you'll continue to bring just grace and healing and goodness, all kinds of blessings that I don't even know to ask for into his life.
Mm.
And I just thank you that you've already answered this prayer in Jesus' name by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. What's going on there?
I just felt moved by the Spirit, I guess. Just thankful. It's always good when I hear people that I care about share something that God is doing in their lives.
That's a pastor's heart, man. That's a pastor's heart. My brother.
Hey, how's it going? I just kind of wanted to, this one's kind of like a confirmation of a testimony for what she was saying over here, talking about her friend going through the heroin addiction.
Yeah.
7 years ago, I was addicted to heroin,
mm.
and I went to jail. And when I was in there, the Gideons really gave me the Bible, and I was baptized before I went to jail. and I already had faith, but when I was in there is where I really found the faith, and I was really saved. So there's 100% hope, and I really do think that he will be saved in there, and he'll come out a new man with more power than he went when he came in. I mean, it's just, that's what happened to me, and I can't say it can happen to everybody, but I know if it can happen to me, and I'm no different than any of you, God sees us all the same, so I know it can happen to him too.
See, and sometimes we think that sort of thing for affirmation and confirmation is coincidence.
Mm-mm. My name is Dan. I'm a numbers guy. But since I'm retired, I'm a volunteer in a hospital, and I get to spend some time with patients, ones who are going to have heart surgery or who have already had it. And I won't name the individuals, but there's a patient who's been having a tough time recovering and is still in the hospital. Mm. And then there's one other patient who just had surgery this morning. So if you could pray for those two people.
Absolutely, absolutely. Ashok, you're right there next to Ray. I love that man. Ray, would you be willing to pray for that? Thank you, brother.
Our precious Father in heaven, you speak and things happen. We pray for those two individuals who are struggling with their health right now in their recovery. We just lift them up to you, Lord Jesus, pray for healing and recovery. Most of all, we also pray for your presence to give them comfort and peace, knowing that you're not absent in their lives, that you care for them. And so we lift them up tonight, Lord. And offer this prayer in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Right up front, right here, Pastor Shook.
We got one more over here, too.
I just want to say that my husband and I have been coming here for the last few months, actually, off and on. And we just moved to this area. Hey. We spent the last couple of years, we were able to travel with my job, so we've been kind of all over the U.S. And we got here, and something told us that we needed to stay. And so, you know, we both have really good jobs here. We've been really blessed the last 3 or 4 months. We bought a place.
Congrats.
I have to say that in March, I had a miscarriage. Hmm. And, you know, I was 42. Never been able to get pregnant before. Didn't know I was until that happened. And, it was really a sad time for me, and I thought, you know, Christmas I could have had a baby. And this year, for some reason, on Christmas Eve, I just didn't feel well. And for some reason, I decided to see. And I found out that I'm pregnant again. So we're almost 15 weeks into this, and we know that it's a gift from God. I mean, there's just no way, you know, that it would just have happened. Just these things don't just happen. You know, I'm 43 years old now, so, you know, I'm seen as a high risk and all of that. So I just would like to ask for prayer for us. We've got a long way to go still, but we feel really good and very hopeful.
Can you tell me your name?
Spring. And this is my husband, Austin.
Austin?
Mm-hmm.
Austin. Pleasure to meet you. Spring. Would it be too much to ask if we can have a special prayer for you and that baby?
Yes.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
Can I ask my sister Penny to come on over here? And would you mind coming up here? Is that all right? Yeah?
Yep.
Yeah, come on up. Austin, you as well. And Elder Statesman. Because that's a beautiful thing. And we just yes. Yes. And if I love this woman here, and she has such a heart. She has a mother's heart. And I would love for her to pray for you. And if it's all right with my brother here, we could just lay hands on y'all and pray. Yeah. And for all those that are in agreement, you know, do what feels comfortable, but if you feel comfortable enough to raise a hand in agreement. There ain't no emanating power, but it's raising a hand in agreement for what's going on here. Please do so. Penny?
Yeah.
Precious God, from you comes life. Maybe the closest we get to you. And spring holds that life in her now. And we ask for a very special blessing on that baby, on her womb as she grows, on Austin and Spring together as they, in their marriage and in all that you do within a couple, that they grow together over this baby. We ask for your protection. We ask for your surrounding of them and for good growth. Father, our hearts are touched by our children. And so, for Austin and Spring, we pray this special prayer that this child will be a blessing to them and to you. We pray these things in the power of your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Not, church, you know, we do this together. Bless y'all. Bless y'all. We do this together because this is how we live the life of faith. This is how we lean into one another, right? We pray for one another. We encourage one another. We sing these songs together, and we posture our heart towards our Lord. It's not just simply coming every night, and you hear good gospel. Oh, you're a beautiful little thing. You know that? Mercy. That kid is, he's something else. We come here, and we posture our hearts towards the Lord, and in posturing our hearts towards him, we receive from him all that he says is ours by just speaking in gratitude. Amen. And saying that we love him. And when we see him for that, kingdom comes inside and is established in strength. I promise this church, you're going, if you haven't already, right? I mean, there's going to be an agreement amongst this place for Austin and for Spring as we move forward, precisely because we just prayed for them. Precisely because we presented them before the Lord, we come into an agreement that we will steward them as part of our family with greater care. This is what this does, that we come together as sons and daughters. And so as we move on to this next phase, is it all right if we steal 8 minutes from y'all tonight? We get out about 8:08? Because we want to do something together. And as we do this,
I just want to share one thing before you move on. Is that okay?
Yeah, just, you know, keep it short.
I'll keep it here. Yeah. Listen here, man. I just wanted to say, you were talking about how God just brings everything together in his own way. And while we were singing that song, Jesus, We Love You. And we sang a lyric in the second part of that song, in the second verse, that says, the hopeless have found a hope. The orphans, no, the hopeless, yeah, the orphans have found a home. All that was lost has found its place in you. And I felt that in a deep way in my spirit. Having lost a child and just never been hopeless about that. I lost a child as a believer, and I know that I'm going to see him again in the kingdom. But it just spoke some peace to me to think about the reality that all that was lost has found a place in Christ Jesus. You know? So when I have a hard time talking and crying at the same time, if you didn't notice, but whenever we sing that song, Death Was Arrested, you know, I know I'm not the only one here who, for whom those lyrics are personal. And I love that. Anyway, I just wanted to share that, kind of piggybacking onto what Spring had shared, because, you know, what you lost was a life, and that's not unseen by the one who created you.
Amen, amen. Please be seated. We want everybody to have a Bible for the next 18 to 20 minutes. If you don't have a Bible, please raise your hand. That's why we got these. If you don't have a Bible, please raise your hand. I'm going to invite my brethren to come on up. Turn with me to Matthew 26. If you don't have a Bible, hands up. We'll get you Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, we want everybody to have a Bible. Everybody to have a Bible. Number four. Matthew 26. Now, I want you to, Greg's first. I want you to take account as we read this. I need you to have working in your mind everything we've talked about. Circumstances not determining the truth of your life. Freedom from sin. You're going to see this in here. I want you to be thinking about body, soul, spirit, how the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Why? Because that flesh that he's going to talk about isn't fully given over to spirit. I want you to see how Jesus will be in the midst of some terrible circumstances and not let them determine the truth of who he is. I want you to see how he continues to believe the word and that he has access in spite of. Keep this all in your head, everything we've spoken about. And let the words of the gospel speak. Follow along, exercise together.
Matthew 26, beginning in verse 17. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, 'Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me.' And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him one after another, 'Is it I, Lord?' He answered, 'He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had not been born.' Judas, who would betray him, answered, 'Is it I, Rabbi?' And he said to him, 'You have said so.' Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom.' And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And then Jesus said to them, 'You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee.' Peter answered him, 'Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away.' Jesus said to him, 'Truly, I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' Peter said to him, 'Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you.' And all the disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, 'My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me.' And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.' And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, 'So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that you may not enter into temptation.
The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign saying, The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him. And he came up to Jesus at once and said, Greetings, Rabbi. And he kissed him. Jesus said to him, Friend, do what you came to do. Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were there with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so? At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples left him and fled.
Verse 57. Then those who had seized Jesus led him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders had gathered. And Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat with the guards to see the end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus, that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said, This man said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days. And the high priest stood up and said, Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you? But Jesus remained silent. And the high priest said to him, I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, You have said so. But I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power, and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his robes and said, He has uttered blasphemy. What further witnesses do we need? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your judgment? They answered, He deserves death. Then they spit in his face and struck him. And some slapped him, saying, Prophesy to us, you Christ. Who is it that struck you? Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, You also were with Jesus, the Galilean. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you mean. And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, This man was the Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied it with an oath, I do not know the man. After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, Certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you. Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, I do not know the man. And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate, the governor. Then when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. They said, What is that to us? See to it yourself. And throwing down the pieces of silver into the temple, he departed, and he went and hanged himself. But the chief priests, taking the pieces of silver, said, It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, since it is blood money. So they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. Therefore, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, saying, And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him on whom a price had been set by some of the sons of Israel, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me.
Verse 11. Now when Jesus stood before the governor asked him, Are you the king of the Jews? Jesus said, You have said so. But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, Do you not hear how many things they testify against you? But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. And they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Christ? For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream. Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Then the governor again said to them, Which of the two do you want me to release for you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? And they said, and they all said, Let him be crucified. When he said, Why? What evil has he done? They shouted all the more, Let him be crucified. So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves. And all the people answered, His blood be on us and on our children. Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters. They gathered the whole battalion before him, and they stripped him, put on a scarlet robe on him, twisting together a crown of thorns. They put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit on him. They took the reed, they struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall, but when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head, they put the charge against him, which read, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right hand, one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross. So also the chief priests, the scribes, and elders mocked him, saying, He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him. For he said, I am the Son of God. And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders hearing it said, this man is calling Elijah. One of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook, and the rocks were split. And the tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, truly, this was the Son of God. There were also many women there, looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among whom were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen shroud, laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, Sir, we remember how that impostor said while he was still alive, after 3 days I will rise. Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead. And the last fraud will be worse than the first. And Pilate said to them, you have a guard of soldiers. Go make it as secure as you can. So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard.
Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearing was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, do not be afraid. For I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. Go, tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, tell people his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Behold, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. That is the story of the death and the resurrection of our Lord. He endured that shame so that each and every single one of us could stand in this moment and declare we are free. This ain't an exercise in cool worship. This is an exercise in true heart posture and adoration. Hearing the word of the Lord and receiving it in our hearts. Listen to me real good. Listen to me real good. My dear PVC, and for many of y'all that are of my faith tradition, it is not first and foremost theology. It is first and foremost a life that has been given to us via resurrected Messiah. It is a life that we have now through resurrected Messiah. We receive the truth of the glorified Messiah so that we can walk in the newness of life. Behold, he is risen. Let him be risen in your heart today. Give up on the person you thought that you should be and rise up in the fullness of the person he created you to be. Free in Christ Jesus. Father God, in this moment, as we've heard the good gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he died for our sins, but he was raised back to life for our justification, so that we might be able to say that we are free and free indeed, because we have the liberty that you purchased. So, Father, right now, for anybody who heard the gospel, anybody who's been struggling with the gospel, I pray that you might give us a spirit of repentance. Illuminate our minds to the deceitfulness of sin. I don't know what it is, who it is in this place that is knowing that the Spirit's contending with them right now about the reception of this here thing, the simplicity of this here thing, and that this is not theology. It is first and foremost covenant faithfulness on your part towards us. So whoever that is, I bid you believe. I bid you give up on theology. Put it just down the line. Don't let what matters more matter most. He matters most. So Father, whoever that is, don't let what matters more matter most. And I pray that we leave this place with confidence because you are alive. Pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen.